Chapter 41. 1100 hours. November 4th, 2552. Military calendar. Undetermined location within Forerunner construct known as Shield World. The Spartans and Dr. Halsey gathered about the graves of William and Dante. It was a fine spot. Sunlight dappled the river that flowed past this grove of oak trees. A path of banded onyx curved through the area. They had pried up some of the slabs, scratched in William's and Dante's names, and erected two more to serve as markers for Holly and the lieutenant commander. Senior Chief Petty Officer Mendez read from a small black leather book.
"We have come to a place far from home, time long past since we have seen the sunrise. A place where peace can finally come. A place where we can rest and laugh and sing and love once more."
He hung his head and closed the volume. A Soldier's Tale, Rainforest Wars, the military classic written in 2164. There was a moment of silence.
"Burial detail dismissed," Fred told them.
Ash set a spent brass casing on each marker, a token of respect for his fellow Spartans. He didn't know what else to do. It had been a full day and a half since the lieutenant commander had ordered them into the rift, and the day and a half since it had sealed, stranding them all here. The shock of losing him and the others hadn't worn off. They all felt numb and hollow. Spartans usually didn't have the luxury of grief. Contemplation of the dead was almost always truncated by another mission, a battle, and their focus redirected to the larger strategic picture of saving humanity. Not this time. The slipspace rift had been stable when Dr. Halsey and Chief Mendez had first passed through, dropping them 3 meters onto a grassy hill. The cryopods and Team Saber had followed shortly thereafter. They watched as the opening then started to collapse. When Fred, Linda, and Kelly emerged, they immediately tried to return. Tom and Lucy had tumbled through the opening, and by then the rift was too small. They could only watch as it compressed back to a single wavering dot and vanished. Most of them had thought the slipspace passage would move them to an interior room within the artificial construct known as Onyx. No one, not even Dr. Halsey, had been prepared for this. Overhead blazed a golden sun. The sky, if it could be called that, was robin's egg blue at the horizon, but quickly deepened to indigo and black the higher one looked, then warmed again as it neared the sun. There were no stars. The surface stretched out in all directions, meadows, rivers, lakes, forests, winding paths, all perfectly flat. All flat, that is, until Linda sighted through her oracle scope. She then discovered every horizon sloped upward until these curving surfaces vanished in the extreme distance. Linda said it felt like being at the bottom of a large bowl. Dr. Halsey had assured them they most definitely were not in a bowl. "A sphere," she said, repeating this for the third time to Chief Mendez, "is where we are." The chief sat in the grass.
"One more time," he said. "Explain it to me, please, doctor. Slowly."
Dr. Halsey sighed, straightened her skirt, and then sat next to him.
"Very well, Chief."
She unfolded her laptop, and numbers, charts, and spectroscopic analysis flashed on screen. The Spartans gathered as well to listen. In truth, while they understood the scientific principles that led Dr. Halsey to her conclusions, they still didn't quite believe them.
"We start with this so-called sun."
She pointed straight up, and then gestured to the data on her screen. "Spectra and energy output are consistent with a G2-type dwarf, one of slightly smaller dimensions than Sol. Next, you will note the curvature of this world, concave, as seen through Linda's sniperscope." She tabbed to a new screen, and it sketched the star and a curve that arced to complete a full circle. "Extrapolating, I calculate a diameter of 150 million kilometers, two astronomical units, or a radius equivalent to the distance of the Earth orbiting its sun. Conclusion?" She paused for dramatic effect. "We are inside a micro-Dyson sphere." Ash pulled off his helmet and vigorously scratched his head with both hands.
"That can't be right," he protested.
"We stepped through the rift and showed up here instantaneously. Even in slipstream space, it would have taken some time to travel to another star."
"Entirely true," Dr. Halsey said. But we have not left Onyx.
This is the part I don't get, Kelly muttered. The Forerunner's grasp of slipspace technology was far more advanced than ours or the Covenant's, Dr. Halsey explained.
I believe this sphere resides in the center of the planet, encapsulated and protected by a slipspace bubble of compressed dimensionality.
Chief Mendez looked around and shook his head, unable or unwilling to accept her interpretation of the facts.
If all this is true, Doctor, Fred said, and the Forerunners built this as a refuge, a bomb shelter, to protect them from the halos or the flood, then why aren't they here?
Dr. Halsey shrugged and uttered the words no one thought her capable of.
I don't know.
She closed her laptop. Did something go wrong with their plan? Or did everything go as planned?
We may never know.
Why the flood survives today, and where the Forerunners went, are mysteries we have yet to solve. They remained there a minute, quiet, pondering the scale of this place, the eon-old Forerunner secrets, and tried to integrate it into the events of the last few weeks. Fred then grabbed his rifle and said,
Ash, take your team and gather our supplies. We're deploying in 5.
Yes, sir.
Ash donned his helmet. He and the other Spartan threes moved as if jolted by lightning.
Chief, Fred told Mendez, I want a count of every round of ammunition we have.
Sir,
Mendez jumped to his feet.
I'm on it.
With all due respect, Lieutenant, Dr. Halsey said, and remained sitting, where exactly do you intend to go?
We should rest, think, and heal our wounds. We have lost so many.
Yes, we have, Fred replied.
Which is why we're moving out.
Dante and Holly gave their lives fighting. Kurt stayed behind and made sure the Covenant wouldn't follow us. Now it's our duty to complete the mission. Find Forerunner technologies and get them back to Earth. He lowered his voice and added, doing anything less would dishonor their sacrifices.
Linda moved next to him and said, Suggest we start by finding a way to open Team Katana's cryopod, sir. Get them up and running.
Yes, Kelly said and joined them. Crack the slipspace fields on those things, and maybe we'll find some way to bust out of this place, too.
Dr. Halsey stared at them and pushed her glasses farther up the bridge of her nose.
I see.
You do understand that while externally this space may only be a few meters in diameter within the center of Onyx, internally, its compressed dimensionality gives it a surface area. She cocked her head, calculating.
Many times the surface of the Earth.
Fred looked at Kelly and Linda, and he said,
Then we better get started. We've got a lot of ground to cover.
Dr. Halsey stood, sighed deeply, and brushed grass from her lab coat.
Very well. I'll gather my things.
She strode off, and the Spartans watched her go.
Kelly whispered, You think John's still out there? I mean, alive?
Yes,
Linda said.
He has to be, Fred told her. He's the only one left to stop the Covenant.
While we're stuck in here, Kelly kicked the grass.
What's your take on the others?
Team Saber.
They're kids,
Fred said.
But so were we once.
I think they're Spartans like us.
Ash trotted up to them, Olivia and Mark trailing behind, hefting packs.
All ready, sir, Ash said.
Good.
Fred set a hand on Ash's shoulder and nodded to the others. Welcome to Blue, Spartans, Kelly said. We're going to make a great team. We hope you've enjoyed Halo, Ghosts of Onyx, an audio renaissance audiobook from Tor Books. This program was produced by Laura Wilson. Text copyright 2006 by the Microsoft Corporation. Production copyright 2006 by Audio Renaissance, a division of Holtzbrinck Publishers, LLC. All rights reserved.